Welcome in to the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. This is the Leaf Hour edition of our program. Nine games on tap. Always fun when it's game day of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Austin Mackey, Jake the Snake Schultz with you for the next 2 hours. Toronto Maple Leafs welcome in the Florida Panthers for their second matchup of the season. The first one didn't go so well.
No.
Remember that score?
The score was 5-1 in mid-November.
5-1.
Couple of empties, though, maybe, Sammy?
Feel like there was some, feel like it was a closer game than that, but, yeah. I mean, when was it?
Yeah, like November 17th.
Yeah, it doesn't exist to me anymore.
Yeah.
Leafs might,
it's a long time ago. In the cloud.
Yeah. Leafs might feel a little better coming into this one, especially watching Florida maybe come down to earth a little bit, blowing a 2-0 lead in the third period to Boston Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Or is that wishful thinking?
No, I mean, that's a good thing. But the previous four games to that loss, they played three playoff teams, pretty good opponents, and they allowed one goal a total over those four games. So defensively, they've been extremely good prior to losing 3-2 to Boston. So yeah, they're still doing a lot of things well, I would say. The other bright spot, though, is no Ekblad, no Marchand, no Tkachuk.
Yeah.
So you would think that takes some of the bite out of the Panthers a little bit. That's a positive.
And where are we, Sammy McKee, on Chris Tanev coming into tonight's game?
Would we like to go to the coach to get his extremely detailed update on him?
Very much so.
Okay, let's play that, please.
Kippers Clipper one.
What's Tanev's outlook for tonight?
Game time decision.
Okay.
You can't get three words out faster.
Game time decision. Yeah.
I think.
Can I put words in your mouth?
Well, yeah.
All right. Here's Sammy's words. If he's a game time decision, he shouldn't be playing.
Yeah.
He's not good enough to be back.
It was only, what, 3 or 4 days ago where it was probably not going as fast as we'd like or as expected or...
It was before the Utah game.
Yes, it was. That there was a little bit, and this was Craig Berube basically telling us that there might have been just a, I dare use the word setback, but a slower progression than they were comfortable with. So I'm with you. Like, as much as we think it's a big game, and it is,
yeah,
you cannot jeopardize this guy.
Yeah.
You better be 100% sure that he is good to go here and can take some
abuse.
He might have to take a few hits tonight.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you've played with a ton of guys who got their shoulder taped before literally every game. You know, it's just like once it starts, once you've got a tear or a strain or whatever, it's not one of those ones that just like, and the bone is healed. It just is always susceptible.
And the part of this that really is somewhat concerning and potentially infuriating if you're a Toronto Maple Leaf fan, we have evidence this very season of a decision that was made very similar to this, where Austin Matthews was banged up and he had been in and out of the lineup. This was post his trip to Germany. And he came in that night against the Buffalo Sabres, where there was a game-time decision. All of us sat around here and said, really, we're game-time decision in December or November or whatever it was. And then in that game, I forget who it was, cross-checks him right in the back, and he misses six more games right after.
Yeah.
We've seen this happen already this season with an important guy for the Leafs. Like, I understand the gravity of this game. And don't get me wrong, it's as big as a regular season game you can have in March. But boy, you better be really sure that he's ready to rock with Sam Bennett breathing down his neck when he dumps the puck in.
Well, I think the point you make right there is the one we should talk about, which, how big is this game?
Mm.
Because, you know, it comes down to whether you think the division is must have, if it's not that big a deal. We do have the Max Domi clip, which I think we should play, where Domi clip one here, where he doesn't think it's that big a game.
You can, I don't know if you, yeah, play the clip and then we'll, the only clip, please.
Austin. We don't
it doesn't matter to us. We were just trying to beat every team we play against, and every game is just as important. So focus day by day and game by game, and good test tonight against the defending champ. So it's going to be a fun one.
So that's in response to whether he's concerned about the race for the Atlantic Division title. That S doesn't matter to us.
I don't get that he's downplaying how big of a game it is. Mm-hmm. Because he does talk about a good test and Stanley Cup champion. So it just sounds to me that he wants to protect a bigger picture here mm-hmm. than just focusing on this one game. So
okay.
that's to me, it's just it's a protection. Like you can actually have a great game and lose. You could,
right.
I don't think that he's taking away the gravity of how important the game is.
My reaction to it is not based on Domi or what Domi's saying in this instance. It goes back to years of watching Keefe. And we do have the, I don't even want to say the advantage, almost the disadvantage of having been here for this last 9-year run, where Sheldon Keefe for years, he'd be a big game and he'd say, well, you know, we're more focused on we play. We're more focused on the result. We're more, you know, and the guys, they kind of felt like they downplayed everything. And you wanted there to be some games with some stakes.
Yeah.
Where by the time you get into playoffs where you can't deny their stakes, all 82 games, you haven't played a game you said mattered. It's like, I think it's okay to see tonight matters.
In all honesty, though, I do believe that there's a sense of protecting that if it doesn't go well, it's not the end of the world.
Okay.
So to me, it's like, well, we had this big game. We lost 5-1, and now where do I go with my comments? We pooped the bed.
Yeah, and right? That's okay.
Is it okay?
It's okay to fall short of something and be like, we need better next time.
Yeah.
It was a big game, and we failed. Next time, we can learn from it.
Okay, I do see a side of that, yeah. But I just think that it might be a little too early for that, especially that you play them two more times.
Yeah, that does.
So to... You could lose tonight and win the next two. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you, out of the three remaining games with Florida, like, do they need 5 out of 6? Is 3 out of 6 okay for you? Are we going to read into these three games starting tonight as mm-hmm. difference makers on how we think this will end up being in the playoffs?
I think those are great questions. Are they, if one game in hand, 2 points back? So they could conceivably, here you got the standings up on the screen, they could conceivably split the points with Florida, go 3-3.
3-3.
You know, or however that would end up working out with overtimes and stuff. But they could split the points and then make up the other 2 points along the way. They can. But, I mean, this is the opportunity to make them, it's 4-point swing, right? You have the opportunity to make immediate gains without having to do it in your other games. And it's setting this scene, setting the table for us versus you and the potential playoff matchup.
So are you reading into starting tonight on if the Leafs could knock them off in a 7-game series?
For sure. I think you'll always have the caveat of worrying about what happens with the Leafs in the playoffs. I think that's always going to be there. But like you said, the last matchup was in November.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first chance that you've got to look at them in a really long time here. And like you said, they have 3 matchups before the end of the season, including tonight. This is a real time to, you know, quote, not to go full Shoresy here, but set the tone. Like you have to show that you're not going to back down from these guys, that they're the champions. You know that. And you want to show that you belong with them.
Well, so you are downplaying it.
No, I'm not downplaying it. Me personally, I think it's a wonderful opportunity tonight to reset your confidence. Like a lot of things haven't been looking very good for the Toronto Maple Leafs the last little while, mm-hmm. including blown leads here.
Yeah.
And I don't know how far we need to go back to find a like solid, convincing 60 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if that's even possible tonight. But
have they had one since coming out of the break?
Yeah, good question.
I mean, in Carolina, Chicago, I guess they're okay, but like it hasn't been convincing, really.
Good question.
Thank you.
But in saying that, finding a way to beat them in regulation tonight mm-hmm. would go a long way for them, I think,
mm-hmm.
moving forward, especially going into whenever they play next.
I think that's great framing. Reset your confidence and, you know, sort of establish, you know, I asked you yesterday, what is their game?
Which
you
know, is let's find it. I do find a Craig Berube clip on getting away from their identity. So once again, what do you think is their identity, and what will it look like to beat Florida tonight?
So we established that they are a dump and chase team, that they are pretty good at it compared to a lot of teams. That's something they need to do better is forecheck. But also I think their identity is unequivocally, if you look around the league, top heavy. They need the top guys to be awesome. And, you know, Matthews, we've talked about quite a bit, hasn't quite been there. Marner's game's taken a little dip maybe, you know, compared to an unbelievable start to the season. But there's more there. Nylander, I think for you, in talking to you, you don't think he's...
To me, I really believe that he could dominate a lot more on with his skill set,
so
for sure.
So that's part of the identity. So can everyone dump and chase? Can the top line dominate? Can you get the saves? I think, yeah, that's what we're waiting to see. Why don't we go to Craig Berube in clip 3 and what he thinks.
You know, the last handful of games, I think we've gotten away from our identity a little bit with in terms of putting pucks in deep and forechecking and going to work. So we're trying to get that dialed back in here and you know, play that north south game.
North-south it is.
Listened to our show yesterday.
Yeah, he clarified what our identity is. That's handy.
And the other thing for me, just way too much time in their own zone.
Yeah.
Broken plays, bad passes, and then counterattacks on a team that often is not closing gaps, meeting at the blue line, giving up the first 6 feet inside their blue line. Like, that's not going to get it done here.
The idea with North-South is that it doesn't take a brilliant play. Like, you shouldn't get hemmed in your zone. It should just get out and get moving the other way sometimes. So
the game I am looking back to, and the one that I remember, is actually in October. On October 21st, the first time that Tampa played in Toronto, where they were so unbelievable on all facets of the game in terms of physicality, carrying the puck, dominating, just a great goaltending, every single thing. I want to see that tonight. Like, I would love to just see. It feels like they don't play particularly well against Florida in the regular season or in the playoffs. And I just would, for my mental health, for Leaf Nation's mental health heading towards the playoffs, it would be so nice to see them have a brilliant game tonight.
I will say,
like, it would go a long way. It really would.
It would. But that's when Kip made a really relevant point of, that's a very hard way to play 82 times. We watched their success, and that was like the first, not criticism, the challenge was, can you do that often?
Can you do it 10 times, though?
You're right. Yeah, I don't know if it's happened 5 times since then where they've looked that
dominant,
physical, tip, screen, dig sort of hockey.
Okay, who needs to step up and have a real physical presence for the Toronto Maple Leafs in your mind? Can I start?
Yes, please do.
Jake McCabe.
Yeah?
Yep. I think if he can come in tonight with some sandpaper and be that guy on the back end that makes it real tough, and he can go shoulder to shoulder with a lot of guys. I think if he has a really strong, confident game and sets a tone back on the blue line, to me that hopefully bleeds into the lineup. How about you?
Yeah, that's a good one. I think Matthew Nyes is probably a worthwhile note. You know, I did the Canucks game last night, and I know we'll talk about that in the National Hour, but one thing I think we noted was that when things started to go bad for Vancouver, it was like, who on the Canucks is going to stand up for Quinn Hughes? And you start going through the lineup, and they didn't have a lot of guys. Soucy's gone, Desharnais is gone, JT Miller's gone. They don't have a ton of those guys. I started asking that question about the Leafs and in playoffs against a team like Florida. Who's it going to be? Jake McCabe comes up. You know, Matthew Nyes can do it physically, but doesn't a ton. Lawton's going to have to. You know, I like the fourth line right now of Holmberg, Lorenz, and Kampf. Yeah. None of those guys do it. They have to show that they will do it.
My answer is Nyes for me. Like, I thought what he did with White Cloud, right, in Vegas, I thought that was such a wake-up call for me in terms of what he can do and measuring.
If he can have that moment against Vegas and White Cloud, and then come in and have another type of moment like that tonight.
Fight again, though?
I don't care what it is. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be a fight, but it has to be it has to include a very large presence of his physicality.
You'd like to see him tell someone to shut up.
Whatever,
you know, like
whatever the case is, yeah. If we go back less than 2 years ago when Sam Bennett is driving his head in the ice.
Play on. No penalty or suspension, though. All good.
Stop it for a second, okay? And just look
play
at
on.
Two man on man, okay?
All good.
Don't
he drove his head into the ice. Hey. It was a suspension all day.
We're in the school playground right now.
Yeah.
Stop looking for the principal, okay?
Principal should have been out and about.
Stop it.
Should have been out. Yeah.
Go back to that moment, and it's like, I'm not that guy anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not that guy coming out of college that's all green now. I've got some mileage. I've got some sandpaper. I've probably got about another 15 pounds.
It's coming back to revisit the bully after high school when you're like, oh, I got bigger and you didn't.
Like, how much difference, and we always say hockey players have long memories here, how much of a difference is White Cloud to Nyes to Sam Bennett to Nyes tonight? And I'm not saying he needs to go after him or fight him, but you're not taking advantage of me. You're not driving my head into the ice anymore. Yeah. Those days are over.
So even
to see that kind of message sent.
I just want to see. So that, I agree, it'd be great. But I do think it's going to be important in these three games against Florida where you can't let them call your bluff. Like, they're going to have to punch back. They're going to have to rally around any incidents. They're going to have to show Florida that we're not going to be the Sedins on the other end of the Marchand rabbit punches come playoffs. We're going to be here for each other because they don't have as many guys as willing as Florida probably does, but they do need to show that they'll collectively be there.
Then we go continue down the list.
I will clarify, though. I'm not sure about I want to see Nyes.
I know.
Fight Bennett.
He's much bigger than him.
I know.
But you know what? I saw enough, like real anger when he fought White Cloud. That was not a fight to say, hey, my coach told me to do this, so I'm doing it. He went in there with purpose. Throughout my career, I know who's fighting for fighting, and I know who's fighting to rip my head off. Okay? Big difference. And the guys with that real anger who want to kill you in that fight, you know. And you know the guys who are just doing it for the sake of doing it. What I saw at a Nyes with White Cloud was like real. It was next level stuff for him. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that he has to fight Sam Bennett. But if he did, Sammy, if he did, and he had a little bit of that piss and vinegar that he had against Vegas, that's next level stuff for Matthew Nyes and the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yep.
Be a big help, no doubt, because you go through the lines, there's not many. McMahon's going to have to be a little bit more like that. I'm going to go ahead and call it Steven Lorenz.
Totally.
Steven Lorenz, we don't need this guy, you know, if you're the Maple Leafs, we don't need him to win the Lady Bing. It would be okay if at 6'4" or whatever he is, he got mad at someone.
I'm with you now. It just doesn't stop at Nyes and McCabe. You got to go down the list. McMahon is a big guy too.
Good to see Benoit, as much as you don't love the Superman punch. Good to see him involved in that way. They're going to need guys like that.
Lawton.
Yeah.
Another guy. Capable. In your face type of guy. Just haven't seen it for the first two games. And once again, hey, listen, his head's spinning. He's looking down, seeing a crest that he never thought in a million years he'd see.
Yeah.
It plays with you. I've been there.
First home game tonight, by the way. A few.
Got family. Who's coming?
Right now. It's so tough to be patient and let the game come to you while being aggressive. Yeah. Everyone's be aggressive, but pick your spot.
Where's mom and dad? Where's my cousins? Where's my sister? Like, he's dealing with all of that right now. So that's okay. But he was brought into the lineup because he had the style of play to go up against a team like this. Mm-hmm. And that's where it's got to start.
Yeah, if he's going to be an 18-goal guy, you would like to see a little bit of the physical element too. So the fans love him already. Doesn't need to impress him, but just do the right thing.
We got a clip from Craig Berube on Scott Lawton. Clip 5.
You know, I think Lotz is a straight line north-south player. That's, you know, what he's become. I think coming out of junior was probably a little bit differently, but that's what he's become. You know, he's, you know, he needs to go out and play that way. And Max can make plays. We all know that. He's a good passer and, you know, sees the ice extremely well. So with him and Bobby on that line, like, you know, I feel like if they can get in there and forecheck and create loose pucks and get it to Max, you know, and get to the net. That's what I tell these guys. Get to the net. That's where the goals are scored. Yes, you get opportunities in a game where there's breakdowns and you'll have opportunities to shoot a puck and score. But a lot of times, you know, these guys, like, you just take Matthew Nyes. He scored most of his goals 10 feet out from the net and just get to the net. They're big bodies. And, you know, Max does a good job of, you know, making plays and getting pucks to the net. So that's what I'm looking for with that line.
Yeah, I'd be talking about that sort of thing, too, that, like, you don't need to go out there and score, but you need to set up everyone else to score. You know, put us in a good spot, play in that end, get on their D.
Slot passes with McMahon in the middle of the ice.
Right. And what I do like about that line is if McMahon does catch and shoot one, he can rip it in. You know, like,
feels like it's been a while for him here.
Oh, yeah. He's ice cold. He's got 10 games or something without a goal.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. I just want a dirty, greasy game tonight out of the Leafs.
Yeah, I'm not built for that. But, you know, Florida without...
Please tell me that they're built a lot better for that than you've seen in 10 years. Just no, give me that.
They're not.
Oh, God.
Well, okay. They're not.
I'm not even going to watch tonight.
There's no. They're not like, you know, Luke Shen, Kyle Clifford, Wayne Simmons, whoever you think. They don't have those guys there. But I like their fourth line in a different way.
I just scratched a little bit of the surface on a few of the guys being heavier and bigger and more.
For sure. Also, all of their core four guys. I've always said this. For years at Sportsnet, you can't tape grit to the core of the guys who are on the ice the most. They're going to play 25 minutes a night in the playoffs, and they're the guys who have to fight through the screens, the traffic. They're the guys who have to take the hacks and the whacks. So Lawton's 12 minutes isn't going to matter nearly as much as Matthews saying, I'm going to power through that and park in front, and Marner saying, I'm not going to shoot from 45 feet. I'm going to try to get to 25.
Yeah.
That's where the grit has to come from.
So who's Marner and Matthews? Who's got the weight right now to show up?
Who's got the weight?
Yeah, out of the four guys right now. Tavares, Nylander, like, who has to make a statement tonight?
I think we'd all like to see Matthews back in action. He's shot one in the net at 5-on-5 in the last 15 games. His 5-on-5 scoring, lowest rates of his career right now. So,
and he has been, I don't know for how long, 10 years? Like,
the best 5-on-5 player in terms of defending and scoring and not happening. So whatever the reason, you'd like to see him start to figure it out down the stretch.
Yeah, so some interesting comments today from Berube. He got asked about the Panthers being the defending Stanley Cup champions, and, you know, when you were the Stanley Cup champion, do you remember having the target on your back, and, like, was it harder going into different places as a Stanley Cup champion? And his answer to that was very interesting. Clip four.
Yeah, I guess, like, you know, you always want to beat the team that won last year, I think, as a team going in there. I find the Toronto Maple Leafs have a target on their back every night, seems like. And we don't get an easy game, it seems like, especially at home here. I mean, these teams all come into Toronto, and a lot of the players are from here and family and all that, so they get gunned up and geared up to play us. I mean, I find it's a tough night every night with the Leafs.
You can't.
It's almost like the team's a byproduct. What they really like is the attention that the media gives them.
Yeah,
that's the juice.
Whatever the cause of it is, it's a reality. It is a true thing. People who have come through here and coached, I think Sheldon Keefe at one point when he was going to Jersey, he said, now I get to see what it's like in the real NHL, you know, outside of this, like, weird bubble here where everyone comes for their couple playoff games per year.
Follows you to the supermarket.
Yeah, it is a different beast here. And, yeah, guys get up. There's no doubt it's different. So, yeah, they have a target, and that's just, you got to be good. They've been very good.
Do you think that, like, contributes to some of their shaky home results when, you know, they're, like, for example, they lose to San Jose that comeback game when a guy from Curtis, Ontario, and a guy from Scarborough, Ontario shoots it in the net in a quiet Monday night game on the first game back from a trip. Like,
yeah.
I wonder how many results over the past 10 years, it has been due to that
reason. Keep going. Go to the 50s.
Yeah. Well, yeah, sure.
What is it, a game a year it cost them, maybe?
Maybe. I mean, they've lost a lot of those games to out-of-conference weekday opponents. Like, that has been a... Like, I used to call it the Leafs TV games that they would have, where they would just lose these crappy teams and be Ontario guys
now,
shooting in the net.
The Leafs stunk for a long time.
For sure. There's no question. But even in the Matthews era, I just think it's really funny to have the coach come out there and give a lot of fans confirmation on what they believe.
Yeah.
Right?
Particularly a new coach who's been in other markets, and he's like, this is different. The other teams are playing.
And it's Maurice was talking a little bit too. I listened to Maurice before we came on, and he was talking a little bit about how, like, it was funny when he was doing the scout after they were the year before they actually became champions, where he'd be like, I watch a team's five games before ours, and I would see their energy levels go way up when they were playing against us because they knew what kind of game that we were playing, sort of thing. So it's similar probably with the Leafs, where you watch these teams and then they come into Toronto and you're like,
everyone's all
The San Jose Sharks played the best game they played in a month. You're probably a wake-up call.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Closing in on almost a week already since the trade deadline. Like, it's just zipping by, isn't it?
We're 4 weeks to playoffs.
Where are you guys now on the Panthers? I think we got a clip from Craig Berube talking about the Panthers. Have we played that yet?
No, we haven't.
Let's go to that, and then we'll discuss where we think the Florida Panthers are. To win the division or defend a Stanley Cup?
You know, Florida brings that certain game element, you know, hard forechecking team. They're in your face the whole game. There's not a lot of room out there. That's what I expect. You know, they're gonna dump pucks in and they're gonna forecheck, and you know, they're tight on you. They don't give you a lot of time and space out there. So it's gonna be a battle, your wall battles, and we need close puck support, and you gotta simplify the game against this team.
Bang on. You know, I was going through some numbers for Florida. Eighth best in goals for, eighth best in goals against, like 12th in power play, you know, eighth or whatever in penalty kill. They're good in everything. They're great in nothing, but their ultimate strength lies in that physical nature in a seven-game series where you know these guys are going to punch you in the mouth and come at you. And so I don't know that you can do that over a season. So evaluating their, like, roster and record, it's really tough for me because they're better than their results in terms of how much you fear them in the playoffs.
As far as replacing a few key people, especially on the blue line, we know Oliver Ekman-Larsson's here now. We watched Montour, I think, put together a four-point night to beat the Montreal Canadiens last night.
OT winner, 4-7.
I don't know what the guy's got. 15 goals already, Montour?
Yeah, he does.
Fastest overtime goal in the history of the National Hockey League.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Great D. Hudson.
Pretty cool. But he is no longer a Florida Panther. We saw them get Seth Jones coming towards the trade deadline. Is this the team to beat right now for you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to say.
Because you kind of leaned towards Tampa Bay, didn't you, a week ago?
I think Tampa is probably the best team. They've had a bit of a step back here, quieted off. Like, if I gun to my head who I think's better on paper, I'd probably say Tampa. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, they're the Stanley Cup champions. And, you know, I think team to beat and best team are two different things.
The decor thing is fascinating. Like, Ekblad's going to come back in game three of the playoffs, not having played hockey in 6 weeks or something. Who knows what you're going to get from him. And then, you know, their bottom pair is Uvis Bolinskis and Nate Schmidt. Kulikov and Mikkola are their second pair. You know, yes, Forsling and Seth Jones are a great pair.
I like Mikkola.
Yeah, I like him too.
Rangy.
Yeah.
And Forsling is, like,
excellent.
Quietly, like, their best defenseman.
Yeah. I actually think he is.
The greatest waiver claim in the history of the National Hockey League.
Yeah, Forsling, Jones, and Mikkola, pretty good 3D there, but Kulikov, Schmidt, and Bolinski is, like, I don't know, they're beatable. This is not the, Canadian Four Nations team.
I think Bobrovsky had a period to forget as well in Boston Tuesday night, but because he got over the hump last year and won the Stanley Cup, does that give a huge psychological advantage for having a guy like that now on this team still? Or is he hit and miss for you still?
He's still a guy who could really be terrible. He's high ceiling, low floor, don't know what you're going to get. And in playoffs, you kind of roll that dice and, you know, hope you roll hot at the craps table for a while, but he can roll snake eyes. So it's scary if you're Florida leaning on that.
Yeah.
They did go out and get Kakinen and Vanacek, two goalies, just in case.
I mean, it's three years here now where his playoff numbers have been good, right? Like 21, 22, 9-11, 22, 23, 9-15. Last year when they won the cup, 9-06. Before that, it was an absolute adventure, but he really has dialed in come playoff time. And you look back to the time the Leafs played them in the second round. I think it was that game two where they lost 2-1 or 3-2. It was a really close game, and he was unbelievable. He steals that game. He was really good in that series. So, this is a flip switch to me.
Yeah. You mentioned
flip. Switch flip, yeah.
Yeah.
You mentioned Ekblad maybe coming back after, 6 weeks and maybe feeling rather refreshed. There's Tkachuk that has the potential to be very fresh. Mm-hmm. And then there's Marchand, who some believe that could play in 2 weeks.
Is that right?
But there's another guy resting as well.
Surprised he didn't push it, so we got to talk to the media for 15 minutes today. It's his favorite thing. He's going to be in media when he quits.
I will say,
all he wants to do is talk.
These guys who you're saying could be fresh could be real rusty.
Like, yeah,
if you get Florida in round two and they both have five games under their belt, it stinks. But round one, it's still a big ass to step in and be yourself.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break here. And when we return, Ed Jovanovski, former NHL defenseman, almost 1,200 games in the National Hockey League. Wow. Panthers TV analyst. We'll talk Seth Jones, Marchand, Tkachuk, and the Leafs' chances of beating Florida tonight. That and more when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Everything you need to know about the Blue Jays, Blair and Barker. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee joining us now. Panther TV analyst, former NHL player of over 1,100 games, Ed Jovanovski, joining us. Jovo, how are you, man? Thanks for coming on board.
Yeah, no problem, Kipper. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, we're good. We're looking forward to tonight's game. And based on everything that we saw going into the trade deadline last week, two teams that have aspirations of going deep in the playoffs again. Were you surprised, or was the feeling all season long that Florida just was not satisfied with a cup last year, that they were always committed to try to put together back-to-back championships?
Well, I think when you look at this team right before the trade deadline, they were playing really good hockey. And I think, as a team, you recognize, how can we reward these guys, to add where we think we're have a little bit of a deficiency. And obviously one of those areas where they felt they can improve is on the back end. Big acquisition prior to that is bringing Seth Jones in. I think the Nico Sturm trade, is obviously one of those sleeper ones. I think just watching him a couple games, really, really smart hockey player. And with that fourth line now, with Greer and Nosek, is pretty good makeup there. And obviously adding Marchie, I think, kind of speaks for itself. You're bringing that experience, cup winner, a competitor, and where he slots in, that would be kind of the next kind of story. But overall, I think the team is really satisfied where they're at, especially when these guys come back.
Yeah, just on that, before we get into Seth Jones, but just Aaron Ekblad and his 20-game suspension for PED program violation here. And I take it for face value that he tried to take something to help him recover from injury. I'm asking you, Jovo, are you surprised that it doesn't happen more often with the guys, the way they get beat up over the course of a season, on how easy it is to slip up on something as simple as a banned substance?
Right, and that's how quick and you heard Aaron's comments that was really shocked. but accept responsibility. And I think ultimately at the end of the day, it's nothing that I'm telling you that you haven't heard. You're responsible for what goes in your body. And I think, you know, anytime there's something in question, I mean, you just ask. But it's, you know, Monday morning quarterback, and it's done. And but I think the guys around the league understand that. It's obviously something I know how, I don't know how they're doing it now, but when I was around, you know, you're given that in training camp, and just your the message is basically watch what you put in your mouth or in your body. And it's just unfortunate. He's such a good kid, and, you know, they're going to miss him. You know, he's playing great hockey. He was quarterback in the power play. Obviously, with him and Forsling getting a lot of those minutes against top lines and just doing a remarkable job at both ends of the ice. So it's a loss, but it's something that you look back on, you learn from, and it's probably a lesson around the league as well.
Jovo, how do you feel like the absences of Ekblad, Tkachuk, and Marchand affects this team's odds of having playoff success?
I don't know if it affects it more. I think when you look at this group, I mean, you're hoping that at some point they're all kind of back in the fold, you know. And Marchie's a couple weeks away. Ecky is what it is, kind of where the games fall. And Matthew is kind of unknown. Hopefully we see him right at the start of the playoffs. I think when you look at this group, they're so deep. And I think with these remaining 17 games or wherever it is, I think they're going to hold it tight together and really kind of show their depth moving forward. And for whatever, you know, they have going into the playoffs, they're an experienced team. And I think a little bit of adversity can go a long way. I can't really say right now, guys, that this has got to have too much effect on them.
Jovo, a lot of people up here regarding the Toronto Maple Leafs feel like they need to win the division here. They really do want to find
a... We think that too, yeah. Down here.
Yeah.
Nah, you're fine. You guys give it a second.
That was my my question to you. How hard is Florida pushing now to avoid Tampa Bay or the Leafs?
Right. A good team's going to go down, you know, early on if, you know, you look at that scenario. Absolutely. I think it's right there. You know, you look at the standings, obviously we know what's at bay, you know, with Toronto, with the games remaining against each other, how important these games really are. But absolutely. I don't know if there's one person that's come out and said, yeah, winning the division is number one priority. I think the Panthers are comfortable playing whomever. But absolutely, to get an opportunity to finish one and face a wild card team, not saying that you're just going to rip through a wild card team. We know how this game is. You know, but I think winning the division, there's definitely some importance to that.
Yeah, it seems like it should be a big deal to a lot of people involved. So how confident are you that Bobrovsky can continue this run of, like, getting hot in the playoffs? He's been very good in the postseason for, I think Stan was saying, 3 of the last 4 years. He's been red hot in postseason hockey.
Well, I don't think you're worried too much about Bob. I think it's just the way he prepares and knowing what's at stake. He's your number one guy, right? Mm. And I think he's so committed on, you know, helping this team win each and every night. I mean, a little bit of a setback last game, you know, there in Boston, a couple grade A opportunities that, you know, I could many goaltender is going to stop, but he's been excellent and he's been dialed in. He didn't let up a goal, you know, in a long while there. So I think it's, you know, not only his play guys, but the defensive, you know, awareness that this team has played with in the last, you know, for a month or so now, really stifling teams. And it's so evident up there because you can just see nullifying plays in the neutral zone, not really giving a team an opportunity to spend any extended time in the offensive zone, and they're attacking very quickly. So, you know, this stretch of hockey for the Panthers has been really good. You can throw a last game, like I said, but overall, everyone's pleased with the way things are going right now.
You're listening to Ed Jovanovski, Panthers analyst, as we prepare for Florida-Toronto tonight. So I'm not sure how much you paid attention last week around here in Toronto on the Mitch Marner story. But, Jovo, it was a bit of a gong show in the last week. And I'm just wondering, a similar scenario where you've got a very good player in Florida heading towards unrestricted free agency. And how has that been played out in Florida with Sam Bennett? A little less distraction, I'm sure, in the last week and a half, too.
Yeah, everyone likes to beat this one up a lot. This is the question I seem to get a lot about Sam Bennett. And, I think the situation, obviously, you know, the play speaks for itself. He's a very valuable player, you know, to the Florida Panthers. And I think moving forward, I think when you look at two situations, depending where, you know, the cap numbers are and who you're getting done, you know, there's, you know, it works both ways, right? I think if you find a fair agreement between, you know, team and player, I mean, I'm not going to speak for Sam Bennett, but I would imagine that he loves it down here. He's had a lot of success down here, so I think his number one priority would be staying in Florida. You know, you have the ability as a player to test free agency, and whether he gets to that point or not, I don't know. I know Bill Zito is a very smart man. I think they all do their due diligence on kind of where they feel players should slot in, and I think that's kind of how this situation probably will play out. You know, a lot of players in today's game or even in the past, you know, you work to a point to get to free agency. And no one's holding anything against anyone to kind of test the market and to see where it falls. But you've had success on a team, and you just like to see, hopefully, that Sam Bennett can remain a Florida Panther.
Mm-hmm. So, new addition there in Seth Jones while we're talking about player movement. How has Jones fit in on the back end?
Well, he's been good, guys. I mean, he's simple, letting the puck, you know, do the work, getting back quick. He's a good, you know, mover of the puck, gets back hard. He can elude that forecheck and make that play. And that's where the skill comes in, not only with his size, which covers a lot of ice in that defensive zone, but he has the ability to exit that puck and get going on the offense quickly. And there's a couple spurts there, too, in these handful of games that he has played where he showed that, you know, his shot, his offensive ability to create is there. So that's a big pickup for the Panthers. You got him for term as well. He's been a great fit in. And right now, obviously, handling that number one pair with Forsling. When you look at Ekblad and Jones, both right-handed shots, kind of have that similar build and kind of do a lot of the same things. So I think the adjustment for Forsling is going to be pretty good, but he's certainly been a guy that's noticeable out there, especially in the defensive zone, how he can defend.
As far as the bottom six is concerned in Florida, are we going to be talking about Sturm and Nosek in a month or 2 months going, those were quietly good pickups?
Yeah, I that's what I said earlier on. I'm just watching, you know, Sturm, who's won a cup. He's got, I don't know exactly, roughly 400 games in the league. So he's a real headsy player out there. You can see in his work ethic, he's got size. He can really, with that line, which has been evident with Greer and Nosek, is the way that they get in on the forecheck and turn over pucks and do that. But we all know in this league, there's always that third and fourth line guy in the playoffs that if a team has a nice run, that is really imperative for the team. And I think when you look at the third line on the group with Lustrein and Lundell and Boqvist, now you're not even putting, you know, Marchie, kind of, where is he slotting in on all this? So I think these bottom six is built in a way where you're going to have a long playoff run.
Joe, have a great night calling the game, man. Really appreciate your time on our show.
All right, guys, enjoy the game. Should be a good one.
Thanks, Joe.
And if I look at the Leafs' bottom line of Holmberg, Kampf, and Lorenz, mm-hmm. like they're going to have to start having some big games, whatever, 12 minutes, 11. It's got to feel like they're playing 20.
You can play them. You can play them, and they can hit, and they can control the play. I would love to let them play together for 5-10 games, check the numbers. Are they controlling some play? I do think they can do that. Then it's just, what's the third line do? You know, the old McMahon, Domi, Lott line. Mm-hmm. What's your thing? What do you do? Score a little?
Be a little bit rude and score a bit.
Yeah.
Perfect.
That's it.
I would love that. Give us one goal every other game.
And grind. Just
forecheck.
Be rude.
Tick people off.
Scrums. Don't get scored on.
Few dirty gloves in the face.
If they can end a playoff series plus one at 5-on-5, and, you know,
hooray!
And annoy people.
Yeah.
I trust that the top six can outplay their lines, their matchup, whatever it is.
The one, Holmberg, I do like that he went into the top six and looked good and has that confidence to feel like I'm a good player. I'm a top six guy that I've put down onto the fourth line now. And I think he's been noticeably good since the Four Nations break.
He's a guy that
he carries
put
the
it on a stick and then drive to the net and have guys climbing his back to try to stop him.
Draws a fire hydrant. And then also, yes, he got up there, got that experience, handled the puck, and looked good. He also can't look at the lineup and go, well, I should be up there.
No.
You know, and it felt like in past years there were some fourth liners who kind of felt they should be up there.
Although it is Yaron Kroc into the top six again, and I'm just like, we're doing this again.
The other statement that could be made tonight, Stolarz planting the seed that I'm going to see you again, boys, and I've got your number now.
Yeah.
That can happen tonight, too.
That would be really good. And I definitely think he can do that. And just, you don't want the Leafs goaltenders to fall off their game at all, right? Because they've been so good all season long. But it will be fun going into playoffs to compare the Leafs lineup to last year. Because last year, the third line for the Leafs was Robertson, Yarn Kroc, McMahon. Like something not great. I forget exactly what it was, but
that can't be it.
No, it can't.
I can't remember anything. Can we Google that? How do we do that?
Robertson, Holmberg, Yarn Kroc.
No.
Yes, it was. Domi played with Matthews and...
So who was in the middle?
Holmberg. Was their centerman on the third line last year. So, it's...
Yeah.
I'll take him on fourth line wing.
Yes. So
it feels a little bit...
That makes me feel better.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt too.
That makes me feel better.
Yeah.
Good job.
How do you feel about Nick Robertson sitting out three straight here or whatever? It's been particularly when he said he wasn't pulled out for a bad play. No.
You're playing against the heaviest, like meanest team in the league.
Yeah.
Okay. We saw this a while ago that there'll be opportunities, hopefully, for him down the road here that he can get in, get hot, just be one of those spark plugs and energy guy. But on paper, it's not a good matchup for him.
What do you think his offseason contract negotiation is going to look like? He almost held out this past year.
No, but it wasn't about money. It was about
this year?
It was
all right.
It was about opportunity. It was not. It had
no. Is that right?
Nothing to do with money.
He just wanted more.
But let me go somewhere I can play.
Okay. Well, how about next year and this summer? What's going to change for him?
Okay.
Oh, he's an RFA.
With
correct.
Every other topic of discussion.
All right.
What does the end of the year look like? Did we win in the first round? Did we lose in the first round? Yeah. Did the team go to the third round so Nick can go in there and said, hey, we went to the third round. I played 10 games in the playoffs and, you know, let's go. Let's giddy up.
Fair enough.
That's from here on in. Just win, baby. Just win.
Al Davis Show.
All right. Just warming up here as we go national next.
PJ
Stock.
Oh, God. Do we have to figure out what's been going on with the Habs?
No, I just...
How did you nail him down?
I told him that our show sucked since he's been on and that it stroked his ego a little and now he's good to go.
That's all it takes. PJ Stock, former National Hockey Leaguer, Hockey Night in Canada. It's coming up next. We'll discuss Montreal, who are right in the thick of things. When we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.